This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and as such we should praise Him, seek His help, and seek forgiveness from Him, and seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is within ourselves and the evil which results from our deeds. For whomsoever Allah has guided, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the last messenger of Allah. In the أصدق الحديث كتاب الله, the most truthful form of speech is the book of Allah, the Quran. وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the best source of guidance was that guidance brought by Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in his Sunnah. وشر الأمور محدثاتها, and the worst of all affairs in this world are the innovations in religion. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ, because every innovation in religion is a cursed innovation. وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, and all cursed innovation is a source of misguidance. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, and all misguidance leads ultimately to the hellfire. Today, we have passed the middle point of Ramadan, and we're heading into the last half of Ramadan. We've entered the last half of Ramadan. Ahead of us, the last 10 days, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave special importance to. But before entering those days, as we shift into the second half, the last half of Ramadan, it is worth reflecting on where we are relative to Ramadan. Where are we? Are we on track or are we off track? Are we fasting Ramadan as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted? Or are we doing something else, which we have customarily called fasting in our various communities, countries, etc.? Because fasting, like everything, has an inner and an outer aspect to it. There is the external aspect, which we could call the body of the fast, as we have an external body, the physical we, and an internal aspect, which we could call the soul of the fast, as we have a soul, distinct from the body. Allah has combined both of them, that physical body, in what it does, feeds, improves, corrects the soul, or it corrupts it. It can go in either direction. But it is not our essence. The real we is the soul, our souls. When Allah created Adam, He created all of the souls that would ever inhabit this earth. And He made them all bear witness. Alastu bi Rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? And all our souls bore witness. Bala shahidna. We all said yes. We bear witness to it. That is the essence of faith which Allah has put in each and every heart, imprinted on each and every soul. That is the most important aspect. However, we do have to take care of the body. So Allah has prescribed for us actions that our body should follow in order to protect that soul. Similarly, Ramadan has the outer aspect, the physical, where we don't eat or drink or have sexual relations after the dawn begins, until the setting of the sun. That is the physical. We avoid food, drink, sexual relations, and things that lead to it until the setting of the sun. However, the inner aspect of the fast, the purpose for which Allah has prescribed that, can only be achieved if we are conscious of what the soul of the fast is. If we're not conscious, we're not aware, we're only thinking that fasting is not eating and drinking in the daylight hours, eating and drinking before, and eating and drinking after, then we will not attain or achieve the soul, the essence, the heart of fasting. We will have fulfilled the legal requirement, Sharia. According to the Sharia, we fasted. That legal requirement is fulfilled. You will not be required to make this fast over again. But if we do not grasp the essence of the fast, the soul of Ramadan, then we do not earn for ourselves any reward. All we have done is removed the obligation of fasting from ourselves. That's all. It's important, but it's not the goal. We will not have earned any reward. So fasting will not have been of any real benefit. And that is why every year that we come back to fast, we are in the same position we were the year before, or maybe worse. We all hear how fasting is supposed to change us. It's a life-changing experience and everything. But practically speaking, we don't feel any different. The new Ramadan comes, and the same position we were in the year before, we're the same place. Possibly worse. There's no progression. And you know, in psychology, they describe people who do the same things expecting different results as being mentally ill. This is obsessive behavior. You bang your head against the wall. The wall's not going to break. Your head's going to hurt you every time you do it, but you still keep doing it anyway. So we come back Ramadan after Ramadan after Ramadan. We leave Ramadan unchanged, and we just come back and do the same thing the next year. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. He prescribed an act which would correct whatever is wrong within ourselves and change the way that we act. Change our character, change our interactions with other human beings, change our relationship with Allah, most of all. That's what Allah prescribed. But that's not what we are attaining. So we do need to stop for a moment. Brothers, standing there at the door, leaving the door open to let hot air in on everybody inside. Please close that door. Same thing on the right side. Please close that door. Close the door, please. If you can't fit in, go. There are many places outside available. Close the door. We need to go back to look at what the essence of Ramadan is supposed to be. And it is not something which is philosophical, difficult to understand, only people of higher learning and knowledge can grasp. No. Islam is for everybody. Allah provided this way of life for everyone. So He made it very clear in the Quran, in His final revelation to humankind. He made it very clear, crystal clear, what is the soul of Ramadan? What is Ramadan all about? So we would not have any confusion in our minds regarding it. He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, fasting was prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you in order that you would develop taqwa, a consciousness, a higher consciousness of Allah. Fasting was prescribed for all of the prophets of Allah and their followers. That's what Allah said here. For all those who came before you, it was also prescribed. And even till today, in the corrupt scriptures, in the hands of Christians and Jews, we do see clear statements that Jesus, Moses, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. eating nothing and drinking nothing. Still remains. And in the other religions, in Hinduism, Buddhism, all the others, which are corruptions from the original message which Allah sent to those people in those places, they all have fasting prescribed. This is the goal. This is the goal. It is to raise our consciousness of Allah. It is to achieve the third level of Islam. We know the first level of Islam are the five pillars. The five pillars of Islam. Declaration of faith, praying five times a day, giving zakah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca. And we know above that is the six pillars of Iman. The six pillars of faith. The understanding that we should have as we do those five pillars. And above that is the level referred to as Ihsan. Ihsan. Ihsan meaning the highest levels of goodness in the sight of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ explained its working, saying it is to worship Allah as if you see Him. And just below that, if you can't achieve that, then you worship Him knowing that He sees you. Ihsan. The goal of every believer. Where we seek ihsan in everything that we do, we will achieve the heart, the goal, the soul of everything. Where we are not conscious of it, then we are left with the body. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to bring this concept home to us, he said in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, "Laysa siyamu min al-akli wa shurbi faqat." Fasting is not merely from eating and drinking. That's a part of it. إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. Indeed, fasting is from evil speech, اللغو, and the thoughts that come before it, and its effects. وَالرَّفَثِ, corrupt acts in all of their various forms. This is the essence of it. This has to do with our character. How do you judge a person's character? By what he says and what he does. By what he says, or what she says, and what she does. That's your means of judging a person. You say, this is a good character. This person has good manners. Or bad, based on what they say and what they do. So the Prophet ﷺ stressed that the fast is over and above giving up food and drink. It is giving up saying bad things, saying things which are displeasing to Allah, and doing bad acts in all of their various forms. And how do we do that? We have to be conscious of Allah. We have to be conscious of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِن سَابَّكَ أَحَدٌ, if anyone curses you while you're fasting, somebody says something hurtful to you, أَوْ جَهِلَ عَلَيْكَ, or becomes ignorant with you, wants to get into a big argument and this type of thing, فَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ, say to that person, I'm fasting. Remembering the goal of the fast, we don't sink to that person's level and join them in whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing. We just respond saying, I'm fasting. Excuse me. I don't want to get into an argument. I am fasting. I want to preserve my fast. I want to get from my fast what Allah has prescribed for me. So I will not indulge in argumentation with you. So when we look then at the fast, practically speaking, we have to look at it from this perspective. Seeking the soul of Ramadan. Leaving this month knowing that we understood and applied what Ramadan was supposed to be. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help each and every one of us awaken our hearts and our souls to this reality and to turn this month into a proper month of fasting. Of fasting according to the teachings of Islam. Of fasting according to the way of the Prophet of Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I call on Allah, asking Him to forgive us all. And on you all to turn to Him and seek His forgiveness, for only He can forgive our sins. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. All praises due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. In practical terms, to achieve the goal of fasting, we have to perform, we have to do a complete fast. When we listen to the various advices that the Prophet ﷺ gave us, words of advice that he gave us was regarding different aspects of the fast, we can sum it up by saying that he instructed us to make a complete fast. A fast of every aspect of ourselves. A fast of the mouth, the tongue, what comes out of it, as we fast from what goes in it. A fast from the eyes, what we see, and what goes into our brains, so we don't watch things, read things which are corrupt. We deliberately avoid looking at, reading, observing what is corrupt. Now, of course, some corruption may come our way, which we didn't choose. So at that point, we turn away. We look elsewhere. We avoid it. We control our eyes because our eyes are feeding our souls. And our ears fast from what we listen to. There is corruption. Things that we know are corrupt. People keep asking, is listening to music haram? That's the question that goes over and over and over. Everybody knows in their heart that the music that we listen to today is haram. It's about haram things. It's calling to haram. For sure it's haram. The people who do it are haramis. We can see them. We know. So what do we expect from them? Good? Healthy stuff which is good for our soul? Of course not. It's all haram. So we are careful about what we listen to in this month. And what people say. We know the problems and the issues of backbiting and gossip and slander and all this kind of stuff. It comes out of people's mouths and it goes into people's ears. If there's not an ear there to hear it, then it's not going to travel. It will die with that person. Everybody turns away. Whenever he starts to get into it, everybody turns away. No, sa'udhu billah. Then that person is not going to have anybody to listen to. It's going to stop. But we sit, oh, he's my good friend. I know what he's saying. I'm saying inside myself, a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. But I'm still sitting there listening to it. Because of our friendship. You know, I don't want to hurt his feelings. He wants to get something off his chest, but we know it's not good. But we still sit there and listen anyway. So what are we doing? We think because of our friendship that, you know, we will suffer. We will handle this. We don't believe in it, so it won't affect us. But no, it will affect us. It will affect us. If that friend of ours is always talking corruption, evil, it will affect us. Maybe not at that moment. We'll not hear one thing from him and go and do evil. But if whatever he's saying or she's saying constantly to us, going into our brains, settling in our subconscious, after time when it builds up, we may find ourselves doing things we wonder, ah, why did I do that? Where did that come from? That's not me. Well, it has become you. From what you have been listening to. So we have to be careful. We are participating in gossip and slander, etc., when we sit and listen. Of course, we're not carrying the sin like the one who says it, but we carry some sin for listening to it. And it's damaging, it's harmful. It destroys our soul. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, be careful of whom you take as your friends. You will be raised with your friends on the day of judgment. So if that person and what he is saying and what he's doing is not the kind of person that you would like to have next to you when we raise from the grave and stand before Allah, then don't take him or her as your friend in this life. Not to say you cannot communicate with them, you know, because how can you give them good advice if you don't have a relationship with them? But don't make them your best friends. So you protect your ears. You protect your hands from what you give and from what you receive. You fast. Don't give anything that you should not be giving. Somebody is looking for a bribe. They want a job. They want to do something. And if you get that contract, it'll be good for your company. They'll probably give you a raise and everything else. But he's saying, I need a little something. Out in West Africa, I was there for 4 months. They call it breakfast money. I need some breakfast. This is haram in Islam. So you don't give it. Even though you lose the contract, maybe somebody else in the office will take it and get the contract, and they'll move ahead in the job, and you say, look at yourself and say, oh, astaghfirullah. I missed that chance. You didn't. You didn't. You missed the chance for corruption. A chance which would not be blessed. Yes, externally, the person got the position, got the money, seemed to move ahead, but no. No. Spiritually, he moved backwards. He fell down. He didn't move ahead. And the consequence of it may show up in other aspects of his life that you don't know about. You just see the external and you think, oh, I missed out. No, you didn't. If you did the right thing, you didn't miss out. Whenever we do the right thing, we succeed. Similarly, our feet fast in this month. It fasts from taking us to places that we shouldn't go. We know we shouldn't be going there. There are places of corruption. We have to get there with our feet. We may get in a car and then we use our feet again, pressing the gas, pressing the brake. Our feet are taking us there. So our feet should fast. It should be a complete fast. A fast of every aspect of ourselves. With that kind of fast, we can then achieve the real goals of the fast. For sure, if we pass through a whole month with that level of consciousness, I'm sure you will all agree that this month of fasting will be different. For sure. It will be a fast as we have never fasted before. And it is something that we all can do. It's not something that, you know, only those people of high spiritual character or caliber can do. Some people will tell you, okay, if you want to reach that stage of the fast, you have to make dhikrullah 100,000 times every morning. No, no. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never told us that. If you want to remember Allah, Allah says, "Uzkurullah dhikran kathira." Remember Allah a lot. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't specify 100,000, 10,000. People have dhikr beads so big they wrap them around themselves, you know, to count out 10,000, how many dhikr beads you have to put around yourself. People are doing all kinds of things like this, thinking that this is what's going to get them to that stage. No. Only the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take us there. He was the guide. He didn't do those things. No. That those things are not of any value. If they are good, then he would have been the first to do it. He would have been the first to do it, to show us the way. So the fact that he didn't is telling us that's not the way. We need to follow his way. People say, well, you know, because he was close to Allah. He was a prophet of Allah. So he didn't need to do the things that we need to do. We have to do more. You know when people said that in his time, what he said? That same line of argument, where people had come to his wives and had asked them, how did the Prophet ﷺ fast? How did he pray? How? And they told him, told these people, they said, oh, that's adi, it's normal. Oh, because he's special, because he's close to Allah, Allah chose him, etc. We need to do more. So one said, I'm going to fast every day. Another one said, I'm not going to get married to women, period. Women, we know, corruption. The other one said, I'm going to pray all night. When the Prophet ﷺ came and people informed him about these people, he called all the people together and he said, listen, I'm the best among you and I fast and I break my fast. I don't fast every day. I marry, I get married. I got married, I have children. And I pray at night and I sleep at night. And whoever desires a way other than my way is not a true follower of mine. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That's what he said. So that line of argument is a false line of argument. It's false. It takes us away from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, we need to focus on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the remainder of this month. We know that one of his ways, notable ways in this month, was that he used to read the whole Quran. That was revealed to him. It was not the whole Quran, Fatiha to Nas, in the first year of Ramadan. It became Fatiha to Nas in the last year of his life. Each year he would revise whatever had been revealed to him during that year with Angel Gabriel, Angel Jibreel. That's what he did. And Allah did make special mention about this month and the Quran. And when he said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى. The month of Ramadan. And he named this month. When he mentioned the months of the year being 12 and four of them are holy, he only mentioned one by name. Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month in which the Quran was revealed. Guidance for people and clarity which provides that guidance. So Allah made special mention of the revelation of Quran in Ramadan. So there is that connection there from revelation, there's a connection there from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should give time to the reading of the Quran in this month. It's encouraged, strongly encouraged. But we have to remember that the goal of the reading of the Quran is what? Taqwa. It's the same goal of the fasting, ihsan. That's what the goal is. Not to be able to say at the end of Ramadan, I read a whole Quran. Two times. Another one says, I did it four times. MashaAllah. No. What the goal is to have read the Quran, reflected upon it, and try to act on what we have learned from our readings. Because that's what the Sahaba said. We used to learn the Quran, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, we used to learn the Quran 10 verses at a time. And we would not progress to a further 10 until we understood what were in those 10. We understood it and we tried to apply it. We were learning the knowledge and its implementation at the same time. Words, acts, and faith all together. And Allah, in order to stress this to the ummah until the last day, said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Will they not reflect on the meanings of the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are their hearts locked up? So if we are reading, just sitting in the masjid, we are reading, you know, not reflecting, just reading like parrots. What has happened to us? If that has become the norm, we just read. We're able to recite the words. But we don't know what it is saying. Then what? Somebody says, but you know, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites a single letter of the Quran gets 10 hasanat. That's what I'm going for. I want these 10 hasanat, so I am reciting it. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. But to whom did he say it? Did he say it to Persians? Ethiopians? Pakistanis? Indonesians? Who didn't know Arabic? Is that who he was talking to? Or was he talking to Arabs? His followers who were Arabs. To carry that message till the last day. That's who he was speaking to. And those words were encouragement to read more and more of the Quran so that one would understand more, it would touch our hearts, it would change our minds, it would redirect us. So, my advice in this regard, it is better for you if all you read of the whole Quran for this whole month of Ramadan was Juz Amma, the last 30th part of the Quran, which is the place from which most people read their Quran during prayers. This is what they have memorized from the last portion. And read those chapters with translation. Read the Arabic and then read the translation so we get to understand what is this surah about? What is Allah talking about here? What do these things mean? You know? Okay, we'll not be able to necessarily know word for word, and they do have word for word translations now of the Quran where they'll have what each word means. If you want to read it from that perspective, that also helps in getting you closer to understanding what Allah says. But at least if you just read the meaning, you read the verse in English or you read the surah, it's short in English, you know, after reading it in Arabic. You read it in Arabic, then you read it in English. Then you start to understand what Allah is saying and reflecting on what are the meanings in these chapters. Then the reading of the Quran has value, has real value to us. Better we have done that than to have read the whole Quran like a parrot, not understanding a word which we have read. Becoming like that example which Allah gave in the Quran concerning the Jews who had the books of Revelation, but they lost track of what was being said in it and they didn't follow it. He described them as himarun yahmilu asfara, donkeys carrying books on their backs. That's what we have become. The Quran has become like a book on the back of a donkey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our state in this month and bring us out of this ignorance and misguidance back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, the path of guidance and the path of clarity, and to help us to practice the religion in all aspects of our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our previous sins, our errors, and that of our families and those who are close to us. I ask Allah to put those who die from among us in paradise, make their graves gardens from paradise and their end paradise. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reality of following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about whom he said to all of us, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima." I ask Allah to help us to follow that way, the prophetic way, the way to paradise, and make our last breath in this world be none other than La ilaha illallah.
Seeking knowledge and obligation made easy. Thought about studying for a long time? Tuition fees keeping you from actually starting? Islamic Online University has led a revolution in online learning. The world's first tuition-free degree, BA in Islamic Studies. Access the knowledge, any place, anytime, anywhere. It just doesn't get any easier than that. Classes, texts, assignments, completely online. Set your own schedule for the semester. No overseas travel required for the exams. Subjects taught by qualified English-speaking scholars. Weekly live sessions in virtual classrooms. With curricula based on those in Al Madinah University in Saudi Arabia, Al Azhar University in Cairo, and other reputable institutions around the world. Why wait any longer? You pay just a symbolic registration fee and are ready to begin the adventure of higher education. The most diverse student body of any university in the world. 130,000 plus registered students from 217 countries. Log in to the website for more details. www.islamiconlineuniversity.com.